bear that took over an ice cream shop in California?
No, I love him already.
That reads as like a joke. It's not a joke. Apparently, yeah, he just wandered in, caused a bit of a ruckus overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the morning when the owners went to open up, obviously there's this brown bear literally sitting behind the counter. And then it was all fine in the end. The police were able to just like coax him out. Mm-hmm. But can you imagine coming to work? You're like, I own a cute little California ice cream store and fucking Yogi is behind the counter staring at you in the morning.
I would love to see the security tapes of that.
I'm sure they're out there. If you want to Google it, it happened very recently.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. I love it. Hello, everyone. I'm Dina.
Hello, everyone. I'm Charlotte.
Welcome to the Grimm Curriculum Extra Credit. We have updates to start with.
Yes, we certainly do.
So we are recording this on a Friday. The episode's going to get released on a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we have been hitting the refresh button on the computer the entire time we were recording the last episode to try to find out what is happening with Lyle Menendez.
Yeah.
He is literally in his parole hearing as we speak.
Yes. Dina was literally just refreshing the mm-hmm. news pages to be like, can we give you a full update before we record? But
unfortunately, we can't.
Yeah.
So we are going to be posting about it as soon as we find out, which I honestly think is going to happen like as soon as we're done the episode.
Oh, just watch it. The second we hit stop recording, it'll be like, boom, Lyle Menendez either gets out or doesn't.
We do know
that
Eric is not getting out.
Well, I was kind of shocked by this. I missed that update, but you said he's been, for lack of a better term, a bit of a naughty boy.
Yes. So Eric has spent 36 years in prison.
God, that's a long time.
I know.
I just want to point out, and again, this is regardless of my opinions on mm-hmm. the case itself, the two of them, the Menendez brothers, mm-hmm. killed their two parents.
Check out our Menendez Brothers series for more information.
We talked about it. 36 years.
Yeah.
We often compare the American criminal justice legal system to mm-hmm. the Canadian one, of course, because they're very different in a lot of ways. If they had done what they did in Canada, we're both pretty much of the same agreement that they'd be out.
Yeah, and we talk about this all the time. Here in Canada, life in prison is 25 years.
Plus parole.
Exactly. So they would have been
well out.
Yeah.
10 years ago.
They would have hit their statutory release, meaning that they are free.
Yeah.
So the fact that he's already been in prison for 36 years is crazy. Now, I will say he is going to be able to apply again in 3 years.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens.
Maybe if he gets his shit together and maybe isn't causing as much of a ruckus, maybe he might have a better chance next time around.
So they made their decision on August 21st. Eric is now 54 years old.
Wow.
Lyle is 57. A spokesperson for the brothers has said, while we respect the decision, today's outcome was, of course, disappointing and not what we hoped for. But our belief in Eric remains unwavering, and we know that he will take the board's recommendation in stride. His remorse, growth, and the positive impact he's had on others speak for themselves. We will continue to stand by him and hold to the hope he is able to return home soon. The parole commissioner, Robert Barton, said that the main reason for the denial wasn't the killings themselves.
Right.
That had nothing to do with it, but it was Eric's behavior in prison. Barton has rejected any motion that Eric has been a model prisoner, but he did admit that he's gaining insight.
Okay.
There was discussion of Eric's involvement in fights, drug use, possession of prohibited materials, specifically a cell phone.
Ah.
And also a tax fraud scam while he was linked to a gang. And I haven't been able to confirm this, but it is looking like that tax fraud scam did involve the elderly.
Oh, geez. Come on, Eric.
Yes. He was also in trouble for stashing candles, ingredients for making wine, and art materials that he used to decorate his cell. Commenting on the smuggled goods, Barton said Menendez's institutional misconduct shows a lack of self-awareness. So there's three possible things that can happen when you have a parole hearing in LA.
Okay.
If parole is denied, attorneys for the inmate can request a board review to see if there's been any errors made. If there is a tie when they vote on it, they will review the case and make a determination at a meeting.
Okay.
And if it's granted, it doesn't mean that they just get parole.
Right.
It's sent to the board's chief counsel for a review that can take up to 120 days. And this would happen around the time of like mid-December if he had gotten parole.
Got it.
If the grant is upheld by the chief counsel, the matter is then sent to the governor, who has several options under the California Constitution. And Gavin Newsom, the current governor mm-hmm. of California, is not a fan.
See, that's the thing, is they could go through all mm-hmm. this rigmarole and jump through all these hoops and everything. And then the governor, whoever that is at the time, yeah. could just be like, meh. No.
So like we said, at the time of recording, we don't know what's happening with Lyle. Mm-hmm. But there are experts that say that he is going to be denied, like his brother. Mm-hmm. Former federal prosecutor Niyama Romney said it would be really a miscarriage of justice if one brother were paroled and the other were not, because they're so similarly situated.
But like you say, if they're behaving quite differently in prison, that's really what they're looking at. They've in their way, they've already served the punishment for their initial crime, obviously, of murdering their parents.
Yes.
They've served 25, 36 years.
Yeah.
But if Eric, again, has been bad mm-hmm. and, you know, running various schemes and, you know, stashing things, breaking the rules,
yeah.
and Lyle hasn't, their initial case has nothing to do with their
That's
behavior now.
Right. Yep.
Right? So it wouldn't surprise me either way if they keep him in or they choose to parole him. Like, I'm not really leaning one way or the other, especially because Eric has been denied. Mm-hmm. But I think from a brother-brother sibling relationship, from a public perception to a legal perception,
yeah.
if you let one out and not the other, mm-hmm. or if you keep them both in, or, you know, I think it's going to have people divided either way.
I think so too. Very curious to see what happens. Like we said, we're going to post it on all the socials mm-hmm. as soon as we know. So by the time you hear this episode, we'll already have an answer when it comes
yeah,
to this.
In theory, yes.
But I was surprised at first. And then when I kind of learned more about what Eric's been up to, I was like, oh, come on, man.
Yeah. Initially, same. I was kind of like, what? Just let the man out, for God's sakes. Yeah. And then it was like, well, he hasn't been squeaky clean.
Exactly.
I was kind of like, ah. And as well, you're not the same person who you were when you committed the crime.
No, not
obviously.
At all.
You know, you're going from like your late teens to now your 50s, nearly 60s.
The amount of time that he has served is almost double his age at the time of the crime.
Yes. So you have not lived a life with the rest of society.
No.
And so I think as well, and this is just my opinion, if it's not that they're worried that you're going to reoffend and go murder somebody else. Mm-hmm. It's that, are you going to start getting picked up for petty bullshit?
Yes, because that does happen.
Are you going to be stealing? Are you going to be scamming? Because that's the life you've learned and gotten used to in this very, very structured place.
Yeah.
Will you be able to adapt to a normal lifestyle again? Mm-hmm. It takes a long time for people to adjust from prison to a regular lifestyle. Yeah. And some never truly adapt. So
you have to think about the fact that when he went in, he was very young. I was going to say he wouldn't know how to use a cell phone, but he had one in prison. So it's a bad example. But the amount of stuff that has changed just societally.
Yes.
In these 36 yeah. years is crazy.
It's hard enough, you know, like say you or I were in our 30s and we look at like teenagers yeah. talking about their skibbity risen, blah, blah, blah. And we've been around to see mm-hmm. that evolution. And I'm like, I still don't know what these fucking kids are talking about.
Yeah.
And they're probably like, okay, boomer.
Yeah.
Now remove yourself from society altogether mm-hmm. and throw yourself back in with very limited access through cell phones or Facebook yeah. or whatever to the regular world. That's a lot to get used to.
The thing to remember with Eric is that he is married. He's been married for quite
yes,
some time.
That's true.
He has a daughter who is not biologically his, mm-hmm. but she considers him her father.
Yeah.
The family is very disappointed, but again, hopeful that he's going to take this well. Eric, he left his longtime partner in 2024 okay. right after they started coming back up in the media.
Oh.
We talked about this a while ago, but if I remember correctly, he left her for some like 20-year-old that he met.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So I don't know. this really could go either way. And I am very curious for the news to come out again right when we're done recording.
Yeah, I guess we yeah. will wait and see.
I have another update that I just want to jump to
yes.
if you don't
yeah,
mind.
Yeah, of course.
Because it is relevant to current times and we can get to the rest of our mm-hmm. stories. Brian Koberger having a very, very bad time in jail.
I keep seeing this. And let me tell you, I think it actually brings a physical smile to my face mm-hmm. every time I see something.
He is apparently having a difficult time adjusting to prison, and he has already requested a transfer and filed a sexual harassment complaint.
Well,
He requested being put into a different block at the Idaho Maximum Security Prison via handwritten note. And he wrote in his note, not engaging in any of the recent flooding / striking, as well as being subject to minute by minute verbal threats, harassments, and on that other basis, Unit 2 of J Block is an environment that I wish to transfer from. 5 days later, he complained of sexual harassment in a note to a prison guard after an inmate told him, and they bleep this out.
Oh.
So it says, I'll B bleep F bleep you. I'm going to assume they're saying butt fuck because a couple days later, he accused another inmate of saying, the only A bleep, which I'm assuming ass, will be eating is Koberger's.
I shouldn't laugh.
I know.
I shouldn't laugh.
I know. But he killed so many innocent people.
Absolutely.
And he thinks so highly of himself. And I am honestly, I am okay with the fact that I am happy that he is scared.
Yeah, I'm, you know, a better person would probably judge me. I don't really care. And mm-hmm. I've also heard, so he is in more or less solitary in the sense that I believe he's in his cell 23 hours a day, gets like 1 hour of exercise mm-hmm. or whatever. He doesn't come out of his cell. He is fed in his cell and everything. But maybe you can confirm this. Apparently, other inmates are literally like screaming, yelling, talking, berating him through the vents
yeah.
constantly to a point where he doesn't sleep.
No. So the unit that he's on is called J Block. It's a unit that houses up to 128 individuals, which is a mix of general population, protective custody, and death row inmates.
Okay.
And he is asking to be moved to B Block, which is single person cells mm-hmm. with only non-contact visits.
Does he doesn't have a roomie right now, right?
I think he might, actually. I think he does.
I mean, it would make sense if he was asking to be put into a single inmate cell, but also, I mean, I guess if he does have a roomie, I'd be interested to know, not necessarily their opinion, but how they're dealing with the whole situation. Like, are they just like leaving him alone? Or are they in on the bullshit? Or
so he was told that flooding that happens in the prisons is a relatively rare occurrence. And that J Block is generally a fairly calm and quiet tier and was told to give it some time.
Also, shut the fuck up.
Yep.
Shut the fuck up.
The Idaho Department of Corrections did not respond to a request for comment regarding this.
Yeah, when you decided that day to murder four people, you lost your ability to have an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So sorry. Bye, bitch.
Yep.
I hope he doesn't sleep a wink for the next however long.
Mm-hmm. I'm fine with it.
Absolutely. I hope they're putting like fucking dog shit in bags and throwing it in his cell.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he never has a second of peace.
Yep. It doesn't seem like he does right now.
Good.
Yep. What do you got?
I have 40,000 pounds of steak lost on the highway in Missouri.
That's very different.
Not really a crime. I just thought it was fun, interesting. Not fun for the company, obviously.
No.
But yeah, so along the I-44 in Missouri, a semi-truck full of steak packaged for a grocery store, presumably, flipped and set on fire.
Oh, shit.
It was carrying ribeyes, specifically, so a lot of good meat in Phelps County, Missouri. 40,000 pounds.
That's a lot. That happened earlier this summer here in Edmonton with a truck full of beer.
Yes, it did. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen on TikTok, there's a sound, it's like, if there's a God out there, you'd flip that motherfucker right now kind of thing. It was, I mean, very, very like short story. They shut down both lanes temporarily. It was kind of like an Anthony Henday, like dual carriageway sort of situation. They did say it was the 8th vehicle fire in the past 3 weeks in the area, but that's just like pure coincidence. And one of the firefighters was basically, I think he was reported as saying like, I'm vegan and this smell is very distressing to me. Because it just, the videos and everything, everyone's like, it just smells like a barbecue.
Well, yeah.
So yeah, 40,000 pounds of beef flipped on the highway. I mentioned my little bear in the ice cream shop in California.
Love it.
The next one I have is close to home and happened very recently. A bunch of teenagers basically got together and decided that they were going to catch a predator. So in Airdrie, Alberta, so just north of Calgary, for those of you not familiar, they got together, these teens. It went quite sideways.
Oh, no.
All was well that ends well, but the police wanted to put out a warning. I'll just tell you the story. So a 12-year-old boy escaped after getting into an alleged abductor's car during a vigilante catch-a-predator scheme organized, no less, on Snapchat.
Oh, of course.
A group of 6 to 10 children that were all around the same age arranged the meeting without their parents' knowledge. Basically, the one individual boy voluntarily entered the suspect's vehicle so that the others could record the interaction.
Oh, no.
But then the suspect drove away.
As he would.
With the boy in the car.
Oh, my God.
So that was a twist I think they perhaps weren't expecting. Luckily, the boy managed to roll out at a red light and immediately called 911. The suspect fled south on Highway 2 towards Calgary and was later apprehended at a home in Northeast Calgary with the help of a police helicopter. He was charged with, and this is a 37-year-old man from Calgary. He was charged with luring of a child under 14, sexual interference, invitation to sexual touching, kidnapping and forcible confinement, and 3 counts of breaching a probation order. A quote from RCMP Corporal Gina Slaney, she said, unfortunately, it didn't quite go as planned for the kids. Another quote from Corporal Christopher Herniak of the RCMP, suspect has a previous history with police, and the breach stems from previous investigations, which did encapsulate minors being involved.
Oh my God.
So, I mean, these kids, I'm not saying that you should go out and do this, but they did their research. They tracked him down. They invited him to meet. Now, the police are warning, they're basically what I just said. They're like, look,
don't do this.
Don't do this. It's becoming kind of a growing trend. It's not safe to do. They don't recommend it at all. And they certainly don't recommend that children go out and do this. One of the main things too is that sometimes like it's done with the best at heart, but a lot of the time, even if you do get any kind of footage or recordings, it's not admissible in court.
It's not.
Because the laws can be different about recording people without their consent and stuff like that. Obviously, the risk of you yourself getting kidnapped and stuff. And then they said, too, like, you know, these conversations, when law enforcement is interviewing potential suspects, they're trained to do it properly. Ask the right questions. Whereas, like, if you're asking questions and you don't know what you're doing, it could be entrapment.
Absolutely.
Which then throws everything out the window.
Yep.
And then unclear conversations, right? You can be like, oh, no, he confessed. And it's like,
He actually didn't
technically confess. So they do want to warn against that. They are urging people not to kind of take upon this vigilante activity. Another quote from another police officer said, it's amazingly dangerous what happened with this incident. But I mean, they got him, I will say.
They did.
So I pictured them almost like the kids from Stranger Things,
like literally
on their bikes. You know, there's the creep. We feel that the police aren't doing anything. I don't know if that's actually the case or not. They got him.
I'm just glad everyone's safe.
I'm also glad everyone's safe. They got the bad guy and everyone's okay.
Yep.
And we'll leave it
Best
at that.
Best case scenario for something that could have gone very, very,
very
south.
Wrong.
My next story, I'm going to keep it short.
Okay.
Because I think we're starting to run out of time here. It's about Anna Delvey.
Oh, yes.
Everyone's...
She pops up once in a while.
Yeah, she's...
Because of course she does.
She's Anna Delvey. So she is the now well-known fake heiress who was on Dancing with the Stars.
That still blows my mind.
I know.
That's crazy.
I know. It, with her ankle monitor. So what happened? She had a photo shoot in a New York City park.
Okay.
And people really didn't think much of it. And the reason why I wanted to tell this story is because it has to do with rabbits, which is a little hint towards our latest episode.
Mm-hmm.
And a few days later, people start seeing rabbits in the park. And they're like, these are domesticated rabbits.
Oh, for God's sakes.
So it turns out that after this photo shoot, they just dump the rabbits. And people are rightfully pissed.
Okay, there's so many reasons why that's not a good idea. Mm-hmm. Number one, animal cruelty. Hello. Yep. You can't just release domesticated animals.
Yep. So Anna Delvey said that she was unaware that this is what they were going to do with the rabbits. Mm. Her Instagram had a statement on it saying, as talent, it's not my job to source or return animals, but as an animal lover, I can promise I will never work with them again without knowing exactly where they came from and how they're getting home.
Yeah, sure, is what I'm going to say to that.
Yeah, people are pretty pissed.
I'm sorry, I don't think I believe you. I don't believe for a second you didn't know.
Well, people found out because the posts of these missing rabbits ended up on Reddit. And people on Reddit did some digging and found that they were the same rabbits.
Mm.
And it was earlier that week that they were used, so they had been out there for a few days. A person by the name of Christian Batty had reached out to Terry Chow, the photographer, who's also a vegan influencer and blogger, which to me just makes this all worse.
Yeah, no kidding.
To source out the rabbits. And they were told to bring the rabbits to the park. It's not really clear who exactly was in charge of this photo shoot, but Batty said on Instagram, this has since been deleted. When I realized the rabbits were being surrendered to me, I panicked. Believing mistakenly there were existing rabbits in the area, I released them there thinking it was my best option. She said, I need to be completely honest. I lied to you, Anna, and the rest of the team about the rabbits. The truth is I did abandon them in the park. It was wrong, cruel, and inexcusable, and I take full responsibility of my actions. Batty is only 19 years old. She says that she has no experience for caring for animals, no pet-friendly housing, and no knowledge of available resources, and said that she felt overwhelmed and made the worst choice possible. Also saying that she is relieved that the rabbits are safe, but deeply regrets the harm that she caused. And Anna Delvey, again, kind of pissed.
Oh my God.
The person who organized the photo shoot, the photographer themselves, is not saying anything about the situation publicly, but I mean, she could be doing a lot worse, I feel like. Mm. But I just heard this story, and Anna Delvey is someone who it is both easy to love and to hate.
She, again, is, she's an icon.
Yeah.
In a very infamous way. Exactly. Not a famous way. I do feel a little bad for this 19-year-old like photographer.
Yeah.
Because on one hand, 19 is a tough age because you're still technically a teenager.
Yeah. Well, they weren't the photographer. They were just the person who sourced the rabbits, which is even worse, I feel like.
Yeah. And then it's like, well, okay, so you're young and dumb still at 19, mm-hmm. but you're also old enough to be held legally responsible for things.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, but if you goof,
mm-hmm.
you're on the hook for it.
Yep.
God damn it, Emma. The thing is, if this had happened, I don't think anyone would have really thought twice about it. But because Anna Delvey's involved,
yeah, exactly.
It's immediately like sensational.
Right. I just had to mention it. And that brings us to our next strange and unusual death. I'm taking us back to 2023.
Okay. Not quite an old timey.
Headline reads, Italian man crushed to death under thousands of falling cheese wheels.
Oh, no.
His name was Giacomo Ciapparini.
Oh, I like that.
He was 74.
Oh, no. I mean, okay, don't get me wrong. It wouldn't be better if a younger person died.
I know.
But I just picture this old Italian gentleman being absolutely squashed.
Thousands of giant cheese wheels. They were Parmesan.
Oh.
They were in a warehouse. He was checking on a robot that automatically rotates the cheese to help them mature when a shelf suddenly collapsed, causing a domino effect, with other shelves being knocked over and thousands of the heavy cheeses tumbling to the ground, burying him.
Oh, no.
He was working alone, and no one saw the accident or was able to help him. The warehouse is in the small town of Romano di Lombardia, and it contained about 25,000 wheels of the cheese.
Holy cow.
They were stacked on shelves that reached up to 33 feet high, and they each weigh about 84 pounds.
One wheel.
Yes.
So they're like this.
They're big.
Oh, yikes.
About 20 firefighters from nearby cities were involved for the search of the missing man, which went on all night. But as the hours passed, hopes that he had survived beneath the mountain of the hard cheese gradually diminished. It was not until a few days later that his body was found. And he was the owner of the cheese factory. He's been doing it since 2006. The director general of the producer, the cheese producers, said, "Poor Giacomo was so unlucky. It was a tragic fatality. I cannot remember anything similar, not during the infamous 2012 earthquake." They say that he was a hardworking man, well-loved, really, really sad. His daughter said, "We have been producers of milk forever. My father, Giacomo, the youngest of seven siblings, worked for years with his father and two brothers. In 1977, the farm was divided between the brothers, and with his share of 26 cattle, a tractor, an excavator, a shed, and a bit of land, his adventure began."
I don't think there could be too many individuals more loved than an Italian grandpa who makes cheese for a living.
I agree.
Are you kidding me? Mm. Unless he was an absolute prick and we just don't know about it. To me, that's an angel on this earth.
Yep.
Or Giacomo.
I know.
Being absolutely crushed to death by Parmesan.
Rest our show.
In peace.
Rest in cheese.
Rest in cheesies.
Thank you all so much for listening. This has been the Grim Curriculum.
Extra credit.
Bye.